This morning, it's a little bit different, more of an instructional message, but someone recently said something to me about, hey, you should think about having a message sometime on studying the Bible. So I felt led to do that. So how do we study the Bible? We'll look at that. Why do we need to study the Bible? There is, I think, unhealthy ways to do it, and we'll look at that later, but, you know, what are our motivations as we study? What about the fact that when we get to heaven, I know there will be tens of thousands, possibly millions of Christians there who maybe never learned to read, but somehow heard the word taught by other people and still came to faith. So is it important, if we're not a preacher or a Sunday school teacher, is it important for us to study God's word? And I believe it is important for all of us too. More of us in that classroom that have studied God's word, the more blessing I think it is for everyone there. If you are married, have children, it's important to study God's word so that you can then teach it and pass it on to your children. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I know growing up that verse was always promoted in the idea, well, study is good. Do study, right? Because your school teachers wanted you to study hard. But actually, when you dig into this verse, some other translations more talk about being diligent or doing your best for God rather than actual word study. But we definitely see in the Old Testament, and we'll look at Psalms 119 here in a bit, but it is good to know God's word. Without knowing God's word, how do we know what he wants of us? And even to understand who God is. The Holy Spirit can teach us things, I believe, outside of God's word, in the sense that maybe we read God's word, but it isn't until the Holy Spirit touches us that we more fully understand God. But we need God's word because we can also be led by false spirits. We need to be careful. And so knowing God's word is important to being walking faithfully with him. Yeah, we live in a time where most people in America can read, and we kind of take it for, I know I take it for granted that I can read, but yet in the world there are many millions and millions of people who can't. And so do we recognize the blessing we have to have the freedom to have God's word in our hand, to have the ability to read and to study it? Can you study too much? A verse that was a favorite when I was in school, Ecclesiastes 12:12. Solomon, who was the wisest man who ever lived, right? What did he have to say about study and books? And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is weariness of the flesh. So, what is he talking about? And I think we actually can see it that he's not talking about God's word. He talks about many books. And when we look at our society today, I heard someone talking about the Democratic nominee for New York City is a Muslim and has a lot of radical ideas. But when they did a breakdown of who the majority of the people that voted for him were college-educated people. And there's a lot of college-educated people today that don't have much wisdom, it seems, not much common sense. So we can study too much, but I don't think we can ever study God's word too much. I think there is a big difference there. Turn with me to Psalms 119. So it is interesting that Psalms 119, the largest book in the Bible, is focused on what? What is it focused on?
God's Word.
And so I think we can see God's heart, that it is important for us to know it. I want to begin at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes, and with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So we see here a man who David only had a portion of the Old Testament at that time. The law of Moses and a few other books at that point, I believe, would have all been available. And yet he saw the importance of reading it, knowing it, and following it. How much more for us today? We have the New Testament. We have the words of Jesus in the Gospels. And I think we can take the same heart that David had, a man who was after God's own heart, and take that same love for God's word as David did here. As the old saying goes, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Which one came first? And when it comes to reading and studying God's word, do we need to know the author first? Or do we get to know his word first and then we get to know the author? Or we read it, and I think we find examples from people both ways. Some people come to know God and then they have a hunger and a thirst to read his word to find out more about God. Other people come to know God by reading his word. But for those of us today who are believers, the best way to know God is to read his word. There are millions of people who read small portions of God's word, and they'll often take and try to twist it and maybe turn it against believers. But they look at the Bible as if it's just another book. I hope no one here this morning, when you pick up your Bible and read it, feel like you're reading a dry history book or just some book with good morals that you might pick up in a bookstore. It's important that we believe that God inspired it and read it and wrote it, or had it wrote. It's very important. One of the first things I want to look at this morning, thinking about how to study God's word, it's important what translation we use. I don't know if many of you know here, but Benjamin Franklin, one of the founders of our nation, believed in God, but he didn't believe in miracles. And according to some, he cut out portions of the Bible that he didn't like. He cut out the miracles, and I'm not sure what all else. We need to be careful that we don't do the same. As we read through God's word, we come to a portion that disagrees with what we want to do, and so we just ignore it and go on, and we go on to the parts that we like. You'll find many people today in America like that, who, well, I like this section, I like the morals it teaches, or I like, maybe even I like how I can use it as a weapon against other people. But this other part over here, and today especially, when it comes to sin and need for repentance, there's many that will just reject that out of hand. But I came across an interesting selection from Benjamin Franklin, actually promoted. I'm not sure if he wrote it himself or if he just had it written. But He wanted a modern translation written in 1782 because he felt like the King James was old and outdated. And so I'm just going to read a few verses from there. I'm sure you'll be able to recognize where it is from Scripture, but I think it's an important reminder to remind us why what translation we use is very important as part of our Bible study, not just to pick up any translation that we see fit or we like. So it starts, verse 6, "And it being Levé Day in heaven, all God's nobility came to court to present themselves before him. And Satan also appeared in the circle as one of the ministry. And God said to Satan, 'You have been some time absent. Where was you?' And Satan answered, 'I have been at my country seat in a different place, visiting my friends.' And God said, 'Well, what think you of Lord Job? You see, as my best friend, a perfectly honest man, full of respect and avoiding everything that might offend me.' And Satan answered, 'Does your majesty imagine that his good conduct is the effect of mere personal attachment and affection? Have you not protected him and heaped your benefits upon him till he has grown enormously rich? Try him, only withdraw your favor, turn him out of his place, and withhold his pensions, and you will soon find him in opposition.'" And so one of the things with translations is as people try to make a translation fit the modern times that they live in, if they're focused on making it palatable to the people of their day, it can change the feeling and the meaning of it. As I read through Benjamin Franklin's modern version there, to me the King James is easier to read and easier to understand than the modern version then. And I'm afraid that some of our modern versions today will be the same way, that in another 50 or 100 years, if the world still stands, that some of those translations will have shown themselves to not stand the test of time. So we need to be careful what we read. Before we start studying God's Word, make sure we're reading a translation that is fair and trustworthy. Who translated it. There are modern translations done by true believers, but there are some that are not. One translation that should especially be avoided is the Message. I had never really looked into it before. I'd heard other people talk about it, but I'm going to give you an example how the Message does not like to call sin, sin, or likes to water it down. So I'm going to read Ephesians 5:5, first in King James, then in ESV, and then in the Message. "For this ye know, that no whoremongers, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." And we read a verse like that, and if you don't know King James very well, you may have to dig in and study to find out what a few of those words mean. But it's clear that he is saying there is something that's not going to allow us into heaven. ESV, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So take some of those harder to understand words, puts them into words that we use today, but the meaning is still there. There's things that we are to avoid. There's sin that will keep us from heaven. Now the Message. "You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variation on idolatry, will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God." And so we can see just the watering down. And so it is important as we study God's Word that we're studying the true Word of God and not some version that's made for man. The next thing to think about is what process should we use? Maybe that sounds cold, but to study and to be effective, it's good to have a method or a process as how you study it. When you open God's Word, if you go in with a motive, if you go in to try to prove a point or to justify something that you like that God has called sin or whatever, You can do that, and there are many people who have done that, but we need to go in with an open mind, ready to accept whatever God has said. And part of that is having a good process to say, well, how am I going to read it? How am I going to study it? What makes sense? Gehring last year encouraged you to read through your Bibles, and that is very important, I think, to read through your Bibles, whether you get it done in a year or a couple years, but to know, to have read the whole Scripture, not just the New Testament, not just your favorite books, but to read through the whole Scripture. Because when you're studying God's Word, then I believe if you have read God's Word through, the Holy Spirit can bring those verses back to your mind when they parallel, when they help give an explanation to something, especially in the New Testament, to be able to understand the whys maybe behind some things, or it makes more sense. The old saying goes, the old and the new revealed, and the new and the old concealed, is knowing the whole Scriptures is beneficial for our study. It's also important to remember there's different ways to go about it. Just in your Bible reading, there's different ways to go about it. You can do it chronological, you can do it from Genesis to Revelations, or you can do it, some people have Bibles where you read a bit from the New Testament and a bit from the Old every day, and I think that can be very good. There's no good or better, right, wrong, I don't believe. It's maybe go along with maybe your personality, just like when the four of us in the ministry get up and preach, we each tackle messages a little differently, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as we're balanced and don't just get up and preach on our pet peeve every Sunday. Then I think that can be unhealthy. But you'll see in our personalities, you'll see messages that are more topical, messages that are more expository, verse by verse. And you can do your Bible study the same way. Is maybe this week you're looking at a certain subject, and so you do word searches as you do that. There's other times where it's good, I think, to do it verse by verse and to try to see what God will have for you that way. So maybe someone says, well, can you come to know Jesus by only reading and studying the New Testament? And I believe you can. But I believe that there's so many blessings by understanding the Old Testament with it. And we know as Christians, as believers, if we ignore the New Testament, we will not see God's full plan revealed. And so we need to study all of it. As I was studying for this message, I came across some different people's ideas. I found 3-step plans, 4-step plans, 6-step plans for studying God's Word. And I don't know, you know, whatever one makes sense, but the simple one I found was 3-step one. It's called observation, interpretation, and application. So we start by reading God's Word. We start by just seeing what it says. As one person said, you know, the who, what, where, when, and why of what you're reading, of the story. From there, you go on to interpretation. What does it mean? Sometimes a passage is very clear and easy to understand. Other times, it is more difficult, and we might have to dig in and try to figure it out. I think it's good also that if you have a Bible app that gives you the Greek or Hebrew meanings of a word, that can also help you in your study if it's something that's a little harder. But be careful and remember that the Bible is not a mystical book, as some people have tried to make it into. It's not something with hidden, deep messages that you have to totally twist the Bible to change. I believe God made His Word so that with the aid of the Holy Spirit, it is understandable. And so we don't have to look for the deep, mystical, magic mysteries hidden in it, but just read it for what it says. The last thing is application. It's very important to reading and studying God's Word. If we read and study it, but never apply it, we've just wasted our time. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, beginning at verse 22. And I'm in the wrong chapter here. It didn't look right. James chapter 1, 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's important to remember as we read God's word and his Holy Spirit shows us things that we need to grow in, that we need to do better in, or maybe it's something we've not done up to this point, either through lack of teaching or just lack of understanding. Remember that if we read and study and we know what it says and yet we don't do it, we don't apply it, as James says here, we're foolish, we're a fool, and we've wasted all our study on nothing. In closing, I want us to think about, too, how we shouldn't study the Bible. I mentioned early on that we shouldn't go in with a personal agenda on it. If we're going in there to say, well, I'm in a tough marriage and my wife, I want to divorce her, so I'm going to find a verse that says I can do that. I'm going to find that. And you name it. Whatever your difficult thing that you have with God's word, we shouldn't go in with God's word to try to twist it to our liking. It will not end well. We should go in, as I mentioned earlier, go in with an open mind to learn, not an empty mind, but an open mind. It's important to sprinkle our Bible study, I believe, with prayer, because we do need the Holy Spirit. I can't imagine what it would be like to read God's Word without the Holy Spirit helping us, because I think it would just feel empty of meaning. And I don't think the understanding would be there. Just as Jesus, when he gave his parables to the Jews, the non-believing Jews, when Jesus was here on earth, when he told those parables, it just went right over their heads. And even the disciples struggled at times. But there they were hungry and thirsty for knowing God's word, knowing the truth. And so they would ask Jesus, you know, if they didn't understand, they would ask him. And that's the way what our heart and our desire should be also, is that as we read and study, that if it doesn't make sense to us right then, to ask for God's help. But Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, that hunger and thirst for righteousness, we need to have a hunger and a thirst for God's word. So remember, observation, interpretation, and then application. And as Psalms 119, 108 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we study God's word, let's desire to have that light illumine our lives. The Lord bless each one of you.